Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
You're listening to Press This, a WordPress community podcast on WMR. Each week, we spotlight members of the WordPress community. I'm your host, Doc Pop. I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine and my contributions over on torquemag.io. You can subscribe to Press This on Red Circle, iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. You can also download episodes directly from WMR.fm. Pumpkin spice lattes are back in season and 12-foot tall skeletons are back in stock at Home Depot, which means Halloween is here again. Now, Halloween's origin goes back to ancient Celtic festivals when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts. Going with that spirit, we thought we'd spend today's episode of Press This telling spooky stories of clients from hell or installs gone wrong. So come sit by the fire with me as we hear from our first guest, Chris Wigman, an engineering manager at WP Engine, as he tells a frightful tale. Chris, can you set the mood for us here before you get into your tale? Tell us about, like, you know, when it's happening and where you are in life. Kind of set the mood for the story.
This is an old tale. It goes back to a state far away and a job many removed from what I'm doing now. It was one of my early jobs in the WordPress industry. This would have been winter to spring of 2014. So almost 9 years ago now that this occurred.
2014. And you were telling me earlier that you had a successful plugin. Can you tell us about that plugin that we're going to be telling the story about?
Sure. This story is also about one of the early plugin successes. It's a plugin now called iTheme Security, and I had sold it to iThemes as Better WP Security. When I sold it, we knew we had over 200,000 active users. Remember, this was 9 years ago. And even, you know, that was before they even had download counts available, and all the horror stories is that's been removed now. But this was before that was even a thing in the first place. So we knew we had a lot of users. We knew we had a very successful plugin. And we were releasing the first version of it as a rebrand from Better WP Security to iTheme Security.
You kind of actually got me thinking here. You're talking about before the days of tracking active installs. Do you know roughly how many downloads you had, or how back then would you have known how many users? How would you have guessed how many active users you had?
The best we had to go by was active downloads and a lot of educated guesses. Now, At the time, I had put in Google Analytics. So that cleared up a lot of things. But before the Google Analytics part, the only way we knew was how many downloads. And then we could guesstimate based on that, how many active users we thought there were.
Okay. So you had a very popular security plugin, a WP security plugin. You had a lot of active installs and probably a lot of active users. You were saying it's kind of one of the early days, one of the early WordPress plugin success stories, and you had just sold it. So things are going well for you. This is a success story so far in your horror story, right?
So far, yeah, things went well. We had a support person now to help me full time with it. I had time being part of a company now that I could dedicate full time to developing it, so we could actually do things like a beta program and get people testing it, make sure everything was working, and really spend time to make sure and look at, as we really prepared that first release, that everything should have been right, should have been working.
So things are going well. Why don't you get into the meat of the story here? Tell us what happened.
Sure. Well, what happened is that the plugin had two features. The first was something that was widely considered part of security 10 years ago in WordPress, which is, I mean, it's not security at all in reality, especially we know that these days, and that's hiding the admin area or hiding WP login. You know, normally you go to the URL and your login form pops up. We used to like to say, and I'll admit now that it was probably more marketing even then than it was security, because that if you hid those, somehow the site would be safer. It's kind of like taking the front door of your house and putting it along the side of your house and claiming that your house is more secure. It didn't work that way, but it was a very complex feature to make this happen, to make people feel better about it. And the second feature that we had that broke on this release was something called away mode, which is basically if you were in a 9-to-5 office and you didn't want people getting into it at all outside of work hours, say for a school or a doctor's office or something like that, this feature would set the times that form was available at all. So you couldn't log into the site. You couldn't get into the back end except for the hour specified by the site admin. And both of these features were really rewritten pretty heavily for this. It was, I think the number was 4.0 release that we came out with around the beginning of March. So this was 4 months from the time I had started and sold it to being able to finally work on it full-time. You know, it had always been a side job for me. I had a full-time job at other companies and schools. This was the first time I had been able to work on the plugin full-time. So we started a beta program where we rewrote these features. And we released them on, I want to say, right around March 1st, give or take. So for 2 or 3 days after that release, everything looked okay. The feedback seemed positive. The beta, we had never heard any problems with the beta testers. We had a few hundred people beta testing this thing, and everything seemed good. And then the problems started to roll in. People couldn't get to their site. I can't remember now if it was just the dashboard. I think in some cases it was the whole site went down and we couldn't figure out why. Okay, you must be doing something wrong. Things changed enough on this that maybe your configuration was wrong. And we kind of went with that for a day or so. And then it exploded. We didn't bring down one or two sites with a bug. That we did find the bug and we patched the bug within about a week from initial release. We brought down somewhere between 10 and 20,000 sites by estimate with this bug, based on usage numbers and how many people we knew were using the feature and this and that. The away mode, but the combination of away mode and the hide backend simply left things in loops. You couldn't log in, you couldn't get to things. The site was effectively dead. And you couldn't just log in and disable the plugin. You had to get into hosting. Now, if you've ever dealt with hosts and WordPress users, sometimes it's really easy. You know, it's easy to tell somebody, hey, log in and disable the plugin and that'll fix your problem. But what if you can't log in? How do you get to that plugin to disable? So we wound up with, you know, a couple hundred one-star reviews all within a couple of days. It just exploded and it was not a good situation for anybody.
Wow. So you think somewhere between 10 to 20,000 sites that were using this plugin and got this beautiful update that was 4 months in the making and had a beta program. It was well tested. You had a team behind it, but it didn't instantly bring these sites down, but kind of a rolling series of crashes. It seemed at first like user errors. And very quickly became, nope, this is something we did. So how did you react? What was the next step for you after, you know, hundreds of negative reviews and, you know, thousands of sites down?
Well, there's only so much you can do. Our goal then was to fix the problem. Some folks came back, many over time came back. Some folks would never touch the product again. And it's understandable. We broke trust with it. And then the second thing was making sure that we had even improved beyond that, some of these feature testing and things like that for future releases. I was only with the plugin for 14 months total with iThemes before I left, you know, working on that plugin entirely. But we instituted quite a number of programs, quite a number of tests, quite a number of procedures to make sure something like that couldn't happen again. And to my knowledge, it never has with that type of plugin or with that particular plugin.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that must have been stressful for you. Do you feel like you learned anything from this experience? Is there anything you've changed since then because of this experience?
most of the changes at the time, I haven't done a commercial plugin like that since. One of the lessons I learned is that even a beta program, you got to get the right data back from the beta program. Could we have discovered this? Well, it was pretty clear that with the right combination of settings, yeah, we probably could have discovered it in beta. But instead, we had just opened a beta and said, here, try it. If you see anything, let us know. Without any kind of direction as to, well, try this specifically or try that specifically. You combine that with all the everything else going on. If there was a weakness, it was that lack of direction, lack of inspecting each feature in the beta and just looking at everything from the big picture rather than just the rather than specific details.
Wow. So if that tale that Chris just told you of 20,000 sites going wrong after a what sounded like a successful launch of a new plugin, then stay tuned after this break for another horror story. We'll be right back.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to a Halloween edition of Press This, a WordPress community podcast. On this episode, we're telling frightful tales of plugins gone wrong and other WordPress horror stories. I'm your host, Doc Pop, and right now I'm talking to Derek Oshauer, a web designer and developer who also makes WordPress plugins. Derek, I hear that you have a spooky tale for us. Can you set the scene?
Yeah, so this was really early in my career, a long time ago. I was still working full-time at a normal company making and building websites, but I was doing some freelance work on the side. I had helped a small concert venue build a custom ticketing system because they really hated Ticketmaster. They were an indie kind of venue, so they wanted to do anything to avoid those big corporate companies. But I had built this pretty good ticket system, I thought at least, and they were going to have a huge concert back in the day when Blink 182 was really popular. They were going to have them at their venue and they were going to sell tickets for $1 a piece. So this thing was going to get absolutely slammed overnight when they released the tickets. So we set it up, did all kind of testing and thought it was working great. And then come the morning that we're supposed to release it, I think it was like a Monday at 10 o'clock in the morning. There were some rules, some basic things that we had in place, like you couldn't buy more than 8 tickets to try and get as many people opportunity to get tickets and stuff like that. Again, early in my career, so I didn't do the best at checking on things, but the venue itself could hold, I think it was about 1,000 people. And so we had a limit that, you know, once it hits 1,000 tickets to basically stop selling them. And of course, we release at 10 o'clock. I'm at my normal day job, just doing my thing. Not really, you know, I kind of checked it, make sure the site was at least loading and stuff like that, but not really too concerned. And a few minutes go by, everything seems to be going great, going on. And then suddenly I start getting a text message, and then I get a phone call, and then I get another text message, and I'm in the middle of my job, just doing my normal thing. So I couldn't really just easily take these. But it turns out that I forgot to do the little query check to check the max tickets sold. And suddenly it was going to 1,000, to 1,050, to 1,100, 1,200. I think it got upwards of about 1,600 tickets sold before I finally was able to log into the server and just basically, you know, do the old, just pull the plug. And so they obviously, the owners of the venue were panicking and completely freaked out that they had 1,000 seat venue and had sold about 1,600 tickets. And so they were just obviously panicked. And I'm in the middle of my workday, panicked. How am I going to solve this? How am I going to do this? I got to do my normal work stuff, deal with this freelance thing. It was a total disaster at that moment. Thankfully, things did end up working out perfectly fine. What was interesting is that another unfortunate thing that I didn't check was one way people got around the max tickets was they would just buy multiple times, but use the same email address. Again, this is very early in my career. I wasn't very good at, you know, figuring out how to handle, you know, possible situations that people would try to work around. So they went through and they checked all the orders and realized, you know, one person with the same email address ordered 24 tickets. So they reached out to them, refunded them, and just did that as much as they could. And they got it down to about, I think, because of that, got it down to like 1,200 tickets. Again, this is so long ago, I don't remember the exact numbers, but they got it down to that about that many. And then the day of the event happens and they're still a little worried, are we going to be able to fit everyone? And I think about 500 to only 600 people ended showing up. And the reason being, it was just $1. So a lot of people just went out and bought the tickets just in case. And then just a lot of people couldn't show up. And so they never ended up having a capacity issue. It all ended up working out well, but it was some stressful times when all those tickets were processing and getting paid and doing all that kind of stuff. And thankfully the client was, you know, very happy and understandable in the end. They weren't angry at me. They ended up using that exact ticket system once I patched that little thing. And they ended up using that ticket system that I had made for about 10 to 12 years. And so, they were pretty happy and we got it all sorted out. And even for me, the client did all the legwork of reaching out to all those purchases and doing all that kind of stuff. So I just kind of had to turn the server off and then fix the little patch and didn't have to deal with too much of the consequences, thankfully. But it was a very stressful couple hours while we were trying to figure out what happened and what was going on there.
That was a roller coaster, Derek. That was you're like setting up this scenario. You know, that first off, I'm kind of getting, you know, little hints of when it happened. If, you know, Blink 182 are kind of popular, yeah. And I'm assuming building a, you know, a custom plugin because there wasn't many good.
No.
Right now, I think there's plenty of good.
2005.
Yeah.
You know, is a long, long time ago. So, yeah.
You would be
somewhere around there. Yeah.
Plugin now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So okay. So kind of height of, you know, Blink 182's popularity and tickets for $1. That's insane. So obviously there's going to be a lot of demand and, you know, this whole roller coaster of like, oh no, we sold too many. I thought you were going to tell me, you know, you sold by tens of thousands more. I mean, I feel very lucky. You only had 600 tickets too many, cause this could have been much worse. And then the scalpers, you know, like kind of, boy, it worked out. I mean, and especially because it sounds like the client, this, you know, the client could have put all of this on you to like reach out, you know, like tech support and like reach out and cancel these tickets. Man, that was a roller coaster.
Yeah, it was. Like I said, I was so early in doing, this was my first real large development thing. The biggest thing I had ever developed was this thing. So, you know, I just had no idea of how things could go wrong, how badly things could go wrong, what to even check. And it was just a very good learning experience, that's for sure. But I just had a good relationship with the client. So they were pretty happy. And because honestly, it was early in my thing, I was charging them next to nothing. So it wasn't like I charged them $50,000 for this thing. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it didn't work. You know, I was getting paid honestly on a per ticket basis. I got 10 cents a ticket at the time that they sold through their thing. And me being in my early 20s and making a couple extra $1,000 a month, that was phenomenal. It was wonderful. So it was a great situation. So, but yeah, like I said, they kept using it for over a decade, that exact same system.
And so you had this, you built this ticket system for a pretty big event. And that event, as we said, kind of, you know, spiraled out of control. But it just sounds like the two issues were having some way to capture like scalpers, you know, prevent scalpers from at least using the same email.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't even do that. I didn't even check, like, because there's no user accounts in the system. It was a pretty straightforward. It's just, you go, it's, you know, a one-time guest checkout thing. So it didn't even check email addresses or anything. And it did keep track every time it sold, it kept track of a total. It's just when people went to the page, it forgot to check how many tickets have been sold, and have we already passed that number, and to stop it from selling more at the time. So
those two things got fixed, and there was this worked for 10 years pretty much kind of running itself.
Yeah, I never touched it really ever after that. It just kind of kept cruising along until they finally got big enough where they kind of had to do some business merger and, you know, other, what are those, you know, music companies? I forgot what it is, but, you know, they kind of got bought up basically. And, and so then they were like, no, we have to use Ticketmaster or some other thing. And so they eventually were forced to abandon it for business reasons, but yeah.
They probably got acquired by Clear Channel or something like that.
Yes, that's what it is, Clear Channel. Yeah, it was something along those lines.
So just kind of looking back, what is the one bit of advice you'd give to someone who's like tackling a project similar to this based on your experience? What's the one thing you'd warn them about?
I mean, it's obviously testing. that's pretty the big deal. It's just testing your thing as much as possible in as many scenarios. I mean, I still do my plugins now, and I actually just got a request for one just this morning, actually, where I was just like, I responded back to the person. I never even considered someone doing that ever. I have a confetti plugin, and he's like, I put my confetti on there twice on the page. Once when the page loads, and as the user scrolls down, then it'll go again. I'm like, I never considered anyone doing confetti twice on one page. And so, you know, you can test as much as you want, but sometimes you'll run into those scenarios that you don't think of, but you still got to do as much testing as possible.
Well, Derek Ashower, I really appreciate your time. You're listening to Press This. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have one final Halloween story to give you chills. So stay tuned.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Press This, the WordPress community podcast on WMR. This is the special Halloween story. Earlier, we heard from Chris Wigman, and I thought I'd have Chris come back and listen to the only horror story I have, the only WordPress horror story I have. Chris, are you familiar with Midjourney and text-to-image generators?
Like DALL-E and things, OpenAI?
Yeah, like DALL-E. I was using them and kind of experimenting with different things. And as someone who yo-yos a lot, very first thing I tried was the yo-yo emoji. And yo-yo emoji just really didn't get any great results in there. It didn't get me anything that looked like a yo-yo, for instance. And the word yo-yo also didn't get me stuff in text-to-image generators. But it really got me interested because I kept getting very consistent results. Whenever I used the yo-yo emoji, I would get this really cool looking pink and blue scene with like three mountain peaks in the background and a figure in the foreground. And, you know, this is supposed to be like kind of random. And I kept getting very different images that had pink and blue pastel colors, a figure in the foreground and things like that. So I really started kind of diving into why is this emoji giving me this? And I spent hours going through different combinations of emojis. What does this emoji do? What happens if I do two yo-yo emojis? And I wrote this massive blog post. I mean, this is going to crack the case wide open on like weird stuff that happens in, you know, DALL-E and Midjourney around like, why does this emoji give me this image? And why do other emojis actually give me, you know, a pretzel will give me things that look like baked goods and coffee will give me things that look like a coffee shop. But, you know, the yo-yo emoji keeps giving me this strange scene. And so after I wrote this massive blog post, I mean, it was hours of research and documenting and taking notes. And then the writing, God, I hate writing. It's like pulling teeth. And I hit publish and I go to sleep. You know, it's Sunday night. I spent all Sunday working on researching this post. Monday morning, people are just like, all I see are squares. Like when I go to your site, Doc, I see you say the square emoji gives me this result, but the square emoji gives me this result. And I went and I checked it. You know, the dashboard, it looked great on the back end. Like on my side in the Gutenberg editor, it looked beautiful. On the front end, it was all squares. And all of that work was just absolutely shot. You know why, Chris?
Why would that be? Ghosts in the machine? Gremlins?
My WordPress site is so old, the database did not support emoji, like, at all. It was some, you know, 15-year-old, you know, like there's, like, if I would have installed something in the last 8 years or whatever, it just would have kind of, it would have been still old, but it still would have supported emoji in some level. My database for my WordPress website did not. And if there's one thing people will tell you, you know, if you don't really know what you're doing, the one thing you don't want to do is poke around in your WordPress database. And that's what I need to update my WordPress database. So that's, Chris, that's my horror story. I went looking for like a plugin to just easily convert to like, something that supports emoji, any of the databases that could do it. And I'm going to have to hire someone just to update the database so that I can get this post that I spent, you know, 10 hours on, just so I can get that to actually show up on my site in a legible way.
That'll do it. Old technology is a zombie waiting around to cause you problems, right?
Yeah. You know, and it taught me a lot too. I mean, it did, like, I can go into my portal on my hosting and, you know, I can with a click update my PHP. You know, I can do all this other stuff, but yeah, that database, nope, you gotta know what you're doing. Like, there's no easy fix for that. And I think there maybe might've been as those were rolling out, but I kind of missed the wave. Like, it's even those things that fixed the database to, you know, kind of update them, or, you know, at this point they're even old technology. So that's my WordPress horror story. And Chris, it didn't bring down 20,000 websites, but, you know, to me, it was a bummer, and it's still gives me shivers, you know, to see that blog post and think of like what it could have been. But that's it for our episode of Press This, our Halloween episode of Press This, the WordPress Community Podcast on WMR. I want to thank all my guests for joining me today. Chris, thank you so much for joining me. You can follow my adventures with Torque Magazine over on at the Torque Mag. You can subscribe to Press This on Red Circle, iTunes, Spotify, or download it directly from WMR.fm. We're a weekly podcast. Next week, we're going to have Fran Nagolto telling us how to overcome your fear of going headless with WordPress. We're going to talk about the pros and cons of headless. And if you're worried about making that jump into headless, you're worried about, you know, learning JavaScript or whatever you need to do to kind of make that jump, well, Fran's going to have some great advice for you. So stay tuned for that episode. I'm your host, Dr. Popular. I support the WordPress community through my role here at WP Engine and Torque Magazine. And I love to spotlight members of that community every week on Press This.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.